Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
The 16th shir of Hilchas of Rambam, which corresponds to the last three chapters, chapters 10, 11, and 12 of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, of the laws of idolatry. So, the first prohibition is called it's the 35th prohibition in the Torah. The Rambam says, Shehuzharnu milachbir. Now, lachbir means to do some very strange kind of divination with little living animals, little creatures. And by doing so, it's like literally a snake charmer. So whether it's like a snake or lizards or a person uses these living beings to try to find some kind of connection with them, try to like sink into their state of consciousness. And the Rambam says, Shemidame, that the person thinks by doing this, that Shehem Mo'ilim Lekach, that this is going to put him into a higher state of intuition. He's going to know things that other people don't know, or that he could cause harm to people. This in the Sifri it says v'chover chover. Chover chover means to charm, being a snake charmer. It means whether you are the chover, whether you gather the snakes together, or the scorpions, and whether you are the person who comes and recites all kind of mantras and abracadabras and other things over them, thinking that this is going to in some way assist you in having the insight and intuition that other people don't have. Included in this is also people who think that if you say certain magical words, everything is going to be better. Like, for example, a person who gets a snake bite, and he thinks if he says things, if he invokes certain forces or spirits, then everything is going to become better. Now, this does not, of course, mean that if your child hurts himself, you can't say poo-poo-poo-poo or shoo-shoo or make him whatever feel good. In fact, there's even the Mishnah says in the Chosh Shabbos, that if a person shouldn't speak Narishkeit in general, especially not on Shabbos, but if this makes him feel better, so he's allowed to do it. Why? Because the Mishnah understood, eons before, the rest of the world understood, that medicine is not only pharmacological, that there's not just chemical reactions, but that people can heal themselves if in their own minds they think that they can heal themselves. So if this gives somebody the right frame of mind and it helps a person feel better, then in that case it would be permissible. But if somebody thinks that he's connecting to spirits and goblins and snakes, and by doing so he's going to bring about some kind of magical transformation, then that would be a violation of this 35th prohibition of the Torah. And there are many examples that abound of this. You can all use your imaginations. These would be idolatrous kind of practices. I have to tell you that the Rambam is very, very extreme, if I could use that word, in his shita. The Rambam says, all of this is baloney. He says, none of this means anything. It's all a lie. There's no such thing as spirits. There's no such thing as connecting to spirits. You're not accomplishing anything. He said, it's all in people's minds. And he says, this is anybody with a healthy mind and a healthy state of emotional balance does not get swayed by this. And he knows that it's all mumbo-jumbo. Many disagree with the Rambam. And they have compelling proofs to suggest that it is otherwise. And there is something called the occult. And there is something called these forces that can be manipulated and can bring about good things or harm. At any rate, a Jew is certainly not permitted to engage in this kind of practice. Mitzvah Lamed Ches, 38th negative mitzvah. We are not permitted to seek out the dead. Mediums, seances. People are going to connect with the dead spirits. And the Rambam says that this is in their minds. They're making them believe this whole thing doesn't exist. Because the truth is, he says, the wicked people, and wicked people are their spirits are dead, and even though they cannot actually communicate with the dead, but they think they can, and you think they can, and the Rambam does not attribute any reality to this, but he does say that doing so is a direct contravention of the Torah's instructions. They tell a story that this Yiddish fellow was convinced to go to a seance. So he told the lady, Madame Freder, could you bring up my Zayda? She brings up his Zayda. Said, ask him how he's doing. And Zaydi's voice comes through, a thin little voice. Fantastic, everything is wonderful. And you're happy I'm here with Bubi, and we eat cholent every night. It's wonderful. Okay, finishes the whole seance. He said, could you ask him one more thing? No, he says he has to go now. Just ask him one more thing. Okay, what? Ask him when he learned how to speak English. So that joke would certainly go very well with the Rambam's approach that the whole thing is absolutely not true. I don't know. I don't know if it's not true. Ramban says that there is something to it, and maybe people could connect. I do know that it's irrelevant whether it is effective or ineffective. It is immoral. It is against the will of the Torah. So if it's against the will of the Torah, it's not a moral thing to do. Now, the Rambam says included in this would also be a person who seeks out to bring the dead upon him. He doesn't go to somebody who claims to be in contact with the dead, but he gives an example. He said there were some people who used to starve themselves, and they would sleep in a cemetery. And I guess when you starve yourself, at some point, you're in a very weak state of consciousness, and you get very dreamy, and you're kind of fading in and out of reality. And maybe you think that dead people are speaking to you. The Rambam does say, "Kedei shetishra alav ruach tumah," so that a spirit of impurity will come upon him. Sounds to me like maybe there is something to this. But at any rate, it's not relevant for halacha. The bottom line is, it is prohibited. The Torah does not allow us to do this. The 36th negative mitzvah is, we are not permitted to ask a person who performs certain idolatrous practices, certain black magic that enables him to speak to the spirits. He's called an ov. This is called ov, which we learned about in a previous shiur already. So this guy is the baal ov. He's the master of this occult. You're not allowed to come and say, I hear you're a master of the occult, I don't want to do any idolatry myself, but could you please tell me what's a good investment for tomorrow, or where I can find my niece is missing, maybe you can find her somewhere in the Amazon, or whatever else it is. So to go to such a person is a violation of the Torah. Which means, in plain, simple terminology, to go to tarot card readers, and crystal ball readers, and palm readers, and all the other people who tell you that they're able to go into some kind of higher state of consciousness, and tell you the future, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and they use Ouija boards, it's all prohibited by virtue of the Torah's mitzvahs. All of them. Whether they are real, whether they are fake, whether they just know how to take advantage of people, and read you like a book, it's absolutely irrelevant, you're not allowed to do it. 37th mitzvah of the Torah, you're not allowed to go to the Yidoni. We talked about the Yidoni. The Yidoni has a different methodology of witchcraft and divination. You're not allowed to go and ask him any questions. So before we learned you're not allowed to do these things, now we learn you're not allowed to go visit these people and seek their counsel, as it says in the Parsha of Kedoshim, Al tifnu el ha'ovot ve'el ha'yidonim. Ovot are the balei ov, the people who engage in the ov practice, which we discussed in detail, or the Yidoni, the people who practice the Yidoni methodology. Mitzvah number 34. We are not permitted to engage in any kind of black magic. As the Torah says, Lo yimatzu b'cha, there should not be found amongst you anybody who practices black magic. And there's some pretty hefty penalties that are person like that warrants. And the Torah says, in a very extreme example of somebody who knows better and is warned, there is even a death sentence that comes along with this kind of practice. That does not mean that we seek to impose the death sentence for people who practice witchcraft. It means that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's going back about 2100 years, when the Sanhedrin was in the Beis HaMikdash, that when we had ecclesiastic courts that dealt with this, then this was the case. We do not suggest any kind of enforcement. We are simply understanding how serious a prohibition these things are. Mitzvah number 43. Now it's going to get a little less wookie jookie. We're going to leave the spooky stuff behind. Now we're going to talk about some very practical things. How many of you have been invited to an upsharnish? A little boy's haircut, first haircut when he's 3 years old. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from performing mitzvahs, because the age of 3 is when you're supposed to have the entrance into Yiddishkeit by starting to behave Jewishly. Now, what is a 3-year-old going to do? He doesn't know. The only mitzvah he's really done up until this point is Brit Milah, and he has no clue of what happened. It was so bad he couldn't walk for a year. But he doesn't know. He doesn't understand it. So a child at 3 years old has a little bit of understanding. And we take this little boy, and this guy has his wilde hair all over the place, and we say, I'm going to give you a haircut. Most kids are terrified. I still remember my upshare, and I was terrified. My earliest memory, that's how scared I was. But most children are very nervous about it, and they have to be coaxed, and they have to be explained. We are Jewish people. We have a Torah to keep. And one of the things in our Torah is we're supposed to have our hair cut in a certain way. The 43rd negative prohibition of the Torah is to shave the sides of one's head. As it says, Lo takifu pas roshchem. Don't cut off the edges. Peah does not mean a corner. Peah means the edges, the sides of your head. Included in this, says Maimonides, are the people who engage in practices or behavior that make them look like the idolaters. So if there are things that certain idolaters do, whether it's the kind of clothing they wear, a certain behavior that they engage in. So we're not permitted to try to be just like them, even though so many Jews try a whole time just to be just like them, right? They want to be more Phoenician than the Phoenicians. That's actually not the Jewish way of doing it. If we do something because that's what the idolaters do, so I want to be like everybody else, I want to have that same kind of haircut. Not allowed to do that. And therefore, the Torah says, you're not allowed to shave the sides of your head, what's known as a crew cut. The Gemara in Yevama says, HaKafas Kol HaRosh, that if somebody shaves his entire head, it's also a violation of this mitzvah. Because it's not just only shaving the sides and leaving the middle growing with a mohawk. The point is, you can't shave off the sides. Whether you shave the top of your head or not is irrelevant, but you can't shave the sides of your head. This is the way the idol worshippers used to do it. That was the way of the ancient pagans. And therefore, we are still not permitted to do this until this very day. It's interesting, or perhaps compelling, that one of the signs of the Nazi party was that kind of haircut. It would shave the sides of the head in similar fashion, which was following ancient pagan behavior. The Rambam says that a person who does this earns himself the dubious distinction of Malchus. He gets lashes. And for each side, he'll get lashes, even though it's really one mitzvah. The mitzvah is don't shave the sides of your head off. You shave off one side, you did an Aveda. Shave off another side, it's another Aveda. It's like you're saying, you're not allowed to eat cheeseburgers. If I eat two cheeseburgers, I did one Aveda? No, you did two Avedas. Each kazayas, each serving was an Aveda. So therefore, the fact that you happen to have two sides of your head doesn't mean you have to shave both sides to violate the sin, or that if you shave both sides, you only got one Aveda. In fact, they are two separate Avedas, even though in the counting, the nomenclature that the Rambam employs here, the number, the system, and the numbers, it's mitzvah number 43. The Rambam says further that this notion of shaving off the sides of your head are one mitzvah, even though you would violate two separate mitzvahs. He makes that very, very clear. And he finishes by telling us that women are permitted to get whatever kind of haircuts they want, which is not entirely so, as we'll see in a moment, but there is no prohibition for a woman cutting off the sides of her head. Now, that means if a woman would do this to a man who has no clue of what's going on, then she would not technically be violating a sin because he didn't do it, so I don't know what happened, and she did it, so that technically would not be a violation of this mitzvah. They are not chayovos bo. The next mitzvah is the prohibition of cutting your beard. The Torah says that there are five parts of the beard that a Jew may not cut. What are the five parts? Just like you have two sides of your head, you have five points. There's the two points over here, the top of your jaw, the bottom of your jaw, and then what's called the shibboleth, the central, the beard that comes down, which in theory means that you could look like a Chinaman. You know, you could shave off over here and shave over, you know, as long as you leave these corners, technically you would not be violating the mitzvah. The problem is that we don't know where the corner begins and where it ends. And anyway, it would look very funny. But the Torah says that you're not allowed to do that. But since there are five points, if you shaved off the whole beard, you violated five Aveiros. Not one Aveira, five Aveiros. It's like shaving two sides of your head, you got two Aveiros. Now the Rambam says, the Torah absolutely prohibits the shaving of one's beard and says that you get malchus, you get lashes five times for doing this, only if you use a razor which tears the hair out. It actually uproots the hair. This is a machlekes rishonim, if you have a scissors that's close as a blade or your money back. There's a machlekes whether this is biblically prohibited or it is rabbinically prohibited. The truth is that close as a blade or your money back is a problem. When, you know, the suck and cut and lift, I don't know, I'm not very good at this, but there's some shaver that looks exactly like a razor, that could be problematic. If you want to know more about kosher shavers, I can't help you, but you can go to koshershaver.com and you can learn all about kosher shavers. Now the Rambam says, if you do it that way, you will not be held culpable. So some maintain this means the Rambam says it's okay. But others disagree very sharply. The Sefer HaChinuch says it's just fine. But others say very clearly that the Rambam's opinion is patur. Patur means you're not held culpable. That doesn't mean it's permissible. It's a rule. Whenever we have patur, exempt, it means exempt, no culpability, you won't be punished, but nonetheless it is not permitted. The Tzemach Tzedek actually rules this way, and that is the reason, besides the fact that there's a mystical reason to have a beard, and there's all kinds of spiritual connotations, that Chassidim do not cut their beards at all, even with the scissors. With regard to the upper lip, technically one is permitted to shave the upper lip. You look a little Amish, but you could do it. One is also technically permitted to shave the bottom lip, because that's not your beard. Your beard is what frames your face. Every nice picture should have a frame. So this is your frame. You have your hair on the side. You're probably going to be bald like most Jewish men, but at least you have a nice frame that's going around your head. So why don't we do that? The Rambam says we have a tradition from our Zaydis. That's the word he used in Mishnah Torah. Mezikenenu. From our elders, that we didn't shave the mustache and the hair on the bottom lip either. The Rambam says, halachically is permissible, though fully permissible, even according to custom, if one's hair is getting in the way of their soup, then they are permitted to cut the mustache with a scissors. It is interesting to note, I heard that the Tzemach Tzedek used to bite off his mustache, and our Rebbe, it seems, not touch his mustache at all. He just pushed it back. That's what it seems. But halachically, there's no prohibition with regard to that in any way, shape, or form. Mitzvah number 40. Oy, this is so unpopular in 2013. But it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is that men are not permitted to dress like women. Cross-dressing is prohibited. They're not only not allowed to dress like women, they're not allowed to wear makeup, they're not allowed to wear jewelry, they're not allowed to pretend that they are a different gender. As it says, V'lo yilbash gever simla sisha. This is so clear in the Torah, I don't know how you can twist it out of context. It's pretty clear. A man should not wear a woman's clothes. That's what it says. V'chol gever, the Rambam says, any man, sheniskashet, who puts on lipstick and mascara, oylovash mashi yidua ba'isa amokim. He wears clothing, which everybody says, what are you wearing a dress and high heels for? It's clearly, this is how the woman dress. I mean, if you're in Scotland and you wear a skirt, they might think that you're just wearing a kilt. There's no problem. It's not the skirt that's a problem. If all men start wearing skirts and all women start wearing pants, there's no problem with that. The reality is that if you look at the men's and women's washrooms, if you want to know who's going in there, even when you can't speak the language, you'll either see a pair of pants or a skirt. It says something. So this is why very observant people do not even wear women's pants. Why? Because you're not supposed to wear it. Women shouldn't wear a man's clothes, and a man shouldn't wear a woman's clothes. The Rambam says, quoting our sages, and all the Rishonim speak about this, that the whole notion of cross-dressing is simply promiscuity. It's rooted in licentiousness and promiscuity. And it's all part of our hyper-sexed civilization that is obsessed with anything sexual. And that's the way ancient pagans used to be, and that's the way ancient idolaters used to be. And by the way, some of the mores, which we call progressive and modern, are simply regressive and old-fashioned. If you look at the Rambam's descriptions of what, and not only the Rambam, all of the Rishonim that describe the Chumash in Leviticus and Kedoshim, Kemaisi Eretz Mitzrayim, all describe the ancient pagan rites of Egypt as very similar to the things that people celebrate today. So it's not progressive, it's regressive to pre-Sinaic times, and the Torah says that it is not permissible. The Rambam further says that oftentimes people will do this as a segue or entry point to be able to mix and meld, go to one gender and the other, and so on and so forth, and therefore he says a woman is not allowed to wear army boots. Well, he doesn't actually say army boots, he says armor. He says a woman should not wear a pistol. He says a sword. Okay. I mean, you get the thing. The things which were considered manly, a woman was not supposed to behave or dress in that fashion. That's the mitzvah number 40. Mitzvah number 39 is the prohibition that goes the other way around. Even though he mentioned the notion of a woman cross-dressing before, it is a separate mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for men and a mitzvah for women. Men shouldn't wear women's clothes. Mitzvah for women. Women shouldn't wear men's clothes. As it says, Le'yu Kli Gever, the artifacts which are masculine should not be al isha. V'chalisha miskashetes, the woman who pretties herself or dresses up, but not in a feminine way, in a masculine way. So then, that also is a violation of the Torah's instructions. Now, this doesn't mean that we are here to judge anybody or tell anybody what to do. We're just simply teaching the Torah. We aspire to the Torah's mores and Torah's morals. And this is true Jewish values. And anybody who tells you otherwise is deviating from the truth. More than this, I can't help you. Mitzvah number 41 of the negative mitzvahs. The Torah says we are not permitted to make permanent markings on our body, also known as tattoos, in the way that the ancient idolaters used to do, in a way that was very popular in ancient Egypt. As the Torah says in the book of Leviticus 19:28, V'chsoves kaka lo sitnu bochem, you may not place these tattoos, these permanent markings upon your body. Now, there is an urban legend that if you have a tattoo, you cannot be buried in the Jewish cemetery. I have no clue where that urban legend comes from. I have a hunch, a suspicion, that the boobies who were so nervous about their children getting tattoos made this up to scare the heck out of them. But I recently saw somewhere in the news that there was this celebrity actress or something who was converting to Judaism. I'm pretty sure not a halacha, a total conversion, and that she was having these painful tattoo removals to become Jewish, and I felt so bad for her. Nebuch, what is she going through all this pain for? First of all, there's no requirement to do that. Second of all, you're not even converting. But I don't know where this comes from. I really don't. It has no Torah source. And furthermore, we aren't obligated to remove a tattoo. So if somebody was not observant, they got all kinds of big tattoos, they came home from the army, say, what are you doing with eagles on your chest? They said, I don't know, that's what all the guys were doing. Okay, do I have to take it off? No, you don't have to take it off. There's no mitzvah to take off tattoos. There is an interesting discussion about plastic surgery, which require a form of tattoo, or whether people can have like their lips tattooed black or dark so they don't have to use lipstick. Or Rahman al-Otsan, a woman has breast cancer, and they have to reconstruct the breast if they're allowed to color that area so it looks natural. There is a long halachic discussion about this. If my memory serves me correctly, that Moshe Feinstein generally permits such kinds of things which are not considered tattoo-like, but the whole notion of tattoos in general is antithetical to the Torah. It's not a Jewish thing to do. The new popular craze in Israel of the grandchildren of Holocaust survivors tattooing their grandparents' names onto themselves, besides the fact that it's very dubious and questionable why that's a memory for the Holocaust altogether, why that's a good thing to do, it is definitely a contravention of the Torah's instructions, and it is not permitted. Mitzvah Memhei. The Torah says that we are not permitted to lacerate ourselves. And this is the way they used to do it in the old days. They would lose a loved one. Everybody would gash themselves, and they would put chains on themselves, and they would strike themselves with all kinds of sharp implements to show their pain. The Rambam says they also did this to demonstrate their absolute allegiance to the idolatrous deities that they worshipped. The Rambam says you're not allowed to do that. And specifically he says, the worst of all is to do it for the dead. Now the Or HaChaim has a fascinating piece on this where he says, the reason it's so un-Jewish is because it seems to say that when somebody died, that's final, they're dead, they're finished. And that's why we're tearing our skin. He says, no. When a Jew passes on, we believe that the neshama goes to Gan Eden. So what's left? The neshama. What got taken away? The externality, the body. So what do? We tear our clothes. We don't tear our skin. We don't lacerate ourselves. We only tear something which is superficial in order to demonstrate that we mourn the loss of the terrestrial presence of a loved one, but we believe in the eternity of the neshama. Anyway, there's much more to be said about this, but this is the short version of Mitzvah Memhei, which is fairly long here, trying to keep it short. Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Aleph, and this is the last and final mitzvah for today, the 171st negative mitzvah of the Torah. It is prohibited for a Jew to tear his hair out. I know we use these kind of expressions. You know, you're driving me crazy, I'm tearing my hair out. Fine, you can use expressions like that, but you can't actually do it. And this is because in ancient times, they used to actually do that. They would tear a clump of hair out of the right where we put on our tefillin. They would tear a clump of hair out to demonstrate their anguish at having lost a loved one. And the Torah says that this is absolutely prohibited. We are not permitted to tear out hair from our head. Now, since the Torah says the idea of karcha, leisasimu karcha bein einechem lemeis, you shall not tear out the hair between your eyes, which I said between your eyes means just like tefillin are between our eyes and the crown of our head, so it is with the tearing of the hair. The Rambam says, why does the Torah one time use the expression between your eyes and one time it says your head? To tell you that if you tear the hair out between your eyes, as was their practice, or you tear any hair out of your hair out of your head, and you would violate this mitzvah, as it says, layikruchu karcha bereisham, in the entire head. Which means technically, if somebody would tear the hair off his hand or chest, that he would technically not violate this prohibition. And he would do so, not because he lost a loved one, but just because he's a little mishiga, I don't know, he just wants to tear his hair out and be angry. So then he would not technically violate this mitzvah, although it is certainly not an appropriate thing to do, because we're supposed to take care of ourselves, not supposed to damage our bodies. The Rambam says the amount is kigris, which is not a very large area. It's like 16 hairs by 16 hairs, very small area, in fact. And if you tear out a little clump of hair like that, then you violate this prohibition. Now, the Torah does talk about Kohanim when it refers to this prohibition. The Rambam says you should know that this is prohibited really for all Jews, whether he's a Kohen Gadol, whether he's a regular Jew. It makes no difference. The lashes would be equally administered and applied for anybody who violated this mitzvah. So why does the Torah repeat it again by Kohanim? As it says, Paz zekonim le'igalecho, obivsorim le'yistu saratas, they shall not tear their beards out, the facial hair off, and they shall not tear their hair out. So the Torah says, le'bo elo lahashlim teira ha-mitzvahs, we wanted to have the mitzvahs to be well-rounded and completed. So the Torah speaks about Kohanim, and then the Torah again speaks about every single Jew. But in fact, the Rambam says, this mitzvah applies to every single Jew. I should point out that the prohibition of tearing one's beard out, of removing one's beard, is only applicable for males. The Torah, Rambam is very clear in saying that if a woman does sprout some facial hair, that there's nothing wrong with taking that hair off. That's perfectly fine. She shouldn't tear her hair out from her head, but she can take the hair off her face. Another interesting little detail is that when we discuss this notion of cross-dressing and of doing feminine behavior, the Rambam says that a man is not permitted to dye his white hairs or pull out his white hairs, because that's a feminine thing to do. And he says, if it's the custom that women in a particular cultural society remove their hair from certain parts of the body, that too would be included in the prohibition. A man would not be allowed to, for example, wax his legs or do other things like that, which is feminine, a feminine form of behavior. Torah says that this too is prohibited. So that concludes today's Shir of Rambam. As I said, the 16th Shir of Rambam. It concludes the halachas, the laws that govern things of idolatry, idolatrous practices, the worship of idolatry, and engaging in idolatrous behaviors. And from here, we'll be moving on to the laws of Teshuvah. Thank you for joining us.